843-2244.
Visiting Nurses offers support and care when it's needed most. For over 40 years, Visiting Nurses has become a part of people's lives by providing nursing, rehab, private duty, or hospice care to families in Douglas County and surrounding areas. The families Visiting Nurses work with can take comfort in knowing their loved ones are receiving the highest level of care, leaving them free to enjoy the memories they are making.
Visiting Nurses in Lawrence, call 843-3738. In Topeka, call 234-2700.
42 overnight. Looks like our daytime high. Rain, then rain and snow as temperatures fall to the upper 30s. Gusty north winds gusting to 30 this afternoon. Total daytime accumulation about a half an inch of snow. Then rain and snow becoming all snow tonight. Another half an inch possible. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
908 1320 KLWN. It is now time for the Lawrence Business Magazine Show, and here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John, and welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversation to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, I'm pleased to have from CLO and Midnight Farm, Lauren Demmel and Nicole Van Delzen. Good learning, ladies. How are you today?
Good morning. We're great.
May morning. Right now, it seems right. You know, we have the rain and everything. We'll see what happens here tomorrow.
Yes, it seems unpredictable.
The weather affects you guys a little bit more because Midnight Farm, obviously, when you say the word farm and you think a little bit more weather takes in place. But I definitely would talk about Midnight Farm and everything that you guys are doing out there, because this is something I really didn't know much about until we were talking about you in our last issue of the magazine. But let's talk a little bit about you guys, too, and your history, how you came to be Lawrence, and how you came to be a part of this Midnight Farm. So how about, let's start with you, Lauren.
Okay. Well, CLO started as Community Living Opportunities in 1977. We started as one group home up in Johnson County. And from there, it just kind of, as we realized that there was a need for services for individuals with developmental disabilities in the community, historically, institutions were places where services were provided, and then there was a growing need for services in the community. And so as we realized that, we just expanded kind of exponentially, and now we're a $22 million operating agency a year. Most of those funds do come from Medicaid, but so we serve...
Where is CLO?
We provide services in 20 different counties in the state of Kansas. Okay. We also work with other agencies in other states to help them develop best practice models in their states as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. So that's CLO. And now CLO's been around for how long?
Since 1977.
Since 1977. Okay. So how did you, now that's CLO, but I want to know about you.
Yes.
What is your history with Lawrence? Are you from Lawrence, or did you move here?
No, I'm actually from Littleton, Colorado, and then I went to Kansas State, and I was on the equestrian team out there. So I've always kind of had ties to horses and the equestrian industry. And so then when I was looking for a position, I've always had a passion for nonprofits, and I stumbled across Midnight Farm, and it was just a really good fit for me with my skills, and then also the mission is something that I really believe in.
So how long have you been with Midnight Farm and in Lawrence then?
I've been with Midnight Farm about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. So you're a newbie to
Yes,
Lawrence.
Yeah. Which is strange because most of the staff with CLO have been there 10, 15, 20 years. We have people who are even nearing 30 years. So says a lot about a company that can keep staff for that long.
That's great. And I'm going to get a little bit more into then your background with now, do you have education background and stuff like that when you're working with these kids and programs, or is your more an administrative but with their horse skills? Where's your...
Mine is more administrative. I focused a lot on nonprofit management in my undergrad and my graduate programs, and then just with my personal experience with horses is kind of what
tied it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, Nicole, you've been at a few different places.
Right. Yeah. I've only been at CLO since July, so I'm new there. But
you're not new to Lawrence.
Not necessarily. No, I've been in Lawrence for almost 6 years, and I moved to Kansas for a job at the Kansas Chamber of Commerce in Topeka. So I'd been in politics for a really long time, but like Lauren, always had a passion for nonprofits and really wanted to get into that field. and was able to take some of my skills in association management and things like that that I'd learned with the Kansas Chamber and other positions to take that to CLO. So that's been really rewarding.
So what is your, you moved to Lawrence, where did you come from before you moved to Lawrence?
I was in Washington, D.C. for a few years, yeah, okay. But I grew up in Iowa, so okay, the Midwest is home,
so
yeah.
Okay, so then now you went to CLO, so what was your attraction to Midnight? Now you guys both were kind of with both the CLO, and then Midnight Farm is a kind of one of the...
It's a program.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about how Midnight Farm started, I mean, how, because that's a little, I think that's a fascinating...
Okay. Well, our CEO, Mike Strauss, his family is actually very involved in horses. His daughter shows across the nation mm-hmm. in the Western discipline. And so he's always had a passion for horses. And with his travels and seeing the rest of the country, he's come across therapeutic riding programs. And seeing the benefits that these riding programs had, he wanted to bring that to CLO and make it an amenity for the individuals that we served. And so he started to do a ton of research on the benefits that it provides for the individuals and how to make a program possible. And so in about 2005 is when we acquired the 40 acres of land outside Eudora and Baldwin City right. for Midnight Farm. Mm-hmm. And there was just one old farmhouse on the property at that time. So since 2005, between 2005 and 2009, they had a major undertaking to raise funds to build what we have now as the main lodge and the stalls for the horses and the barn and the arena. And so there was a lot of planning and fundraising that was involved in that. And so about 2009, we opened our doors.
So about 3 years to kind of get everything mm-hmm. up to the standards and to be able to actually work.
Yes, yeah. And so in 2009, we opened our doors, and we've been going strong ever since then. So our popularity seems to just be growing and growing.
No, I think that's interesting. And so what, one of the things is, well, because CLO, so when you talk about community living opportunities, mm-hmm. so that, let's talk kind of backtrack a little bit on what community living opportunities mm-hmm. and who you serve and why it's important to have these programs.
Well, Community Living Opportunities serves individuals with a wide variety of developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. And many of the individuals that we serve have pretty severe health needs, behavioral needs. And with a lot of these health needs, we have found that activity is tremendous to their overall well-being. And mm-hmm. so with therapy,
as it is to everybody.
Exactly.
It's just harder for somebody with development.
Exactly.
To get the activity.
Yeah,
right?
They can't necessarily just go out for a run mm-hmm. like we can. And so we have developed a program at Midnight Farm that is safe for them, yet allows them to really work on their health. And so down there, we have 40 acres of land. They go on hikes around the property. We have a pond there that they'll go fishing on. And all this is in a safe, secure area where staff can really monitor their safety. With the therapeutic riding program, the benefits are it improves their muscle strength, it improves their coordination, their confidence. Them being able to control a 1,500-pound animal gives them a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. A lot of individuals that we do serve are in wheelchairs. There's a lot of health-related issues of being in a wheelchair all the time. And so if they're able to stretch out and be on a horse and have that activity, it really helps with their overall health in the long run.
That's fascinating. So mm-hmm. one of the things that you guys do there, I was when we were reading the article, is you set up this program. And so it's not just kids, it's like all ages, correct?
It's all ages. Well, three and up.
Three and up. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess, yeah. Very hard to get it.
Yeah.
Although, so three and up. So you have how many animals and do you have there?
Well, we have 10 horses that are active in our therapeutic riding program.
Okay.
We do have petting pals. So we have miniature horses and a donkey, a fainting goat. We have chicken.
A fainting goat.
Yeah.
What's a fainting
goat? He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, he's never fainted, I think.
He has.
Oh,
actually,
he has.
Cole Aldridge. The KU basketball team was out, and Cole Aldridge got him to faint. He has some hidden talents, definitely. So I guess it's a just a genetic disorder with fainting goats. If they hear a loud noise, he'll faint.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, but then we have chickens.
Pot-bellied pig.
And all these animals are really to benefit the program. Mm-hmm. Some people are very intimidated by the larger animals, so we can introduce them to the smaller animals first so that they can get acquainted with them. They're less intimidating. They can be right up near them. And so we have those, then the chickens, the individuals that are in our day service program or on our field trips, we'll have them go and pick the eggs from the chickens, go wash them off, and then we sell the eggs. Mostly employees are the ones buying them, but some of the homes will take them home as well. And then we have a big draft horse, Ricky, and he pulls our wagon. So when we have field trips or we'll go to parades, we have Rick pull the wagon. So, yeah, so we've got a whole menagerie down there.
Yeah, it's very fun.
So you have 40 acres, and I know that you also have a couple. You have your main building, right? But you have a couple other buildings now, or is that?
Correct. So we've got the main lodge, which is home to the therapeutic riding program, and we also run our day service program out there. So we have about 13 adults that go out there Monday through Friday, and it's similar to a school structure where they are doing classes throughout the day and just learning new things, participating in arts and crafts. We have a pottery barn, which is our ceramic studio, so they'll do pottery and get to learn that whole process. We have a greenhouse where they learn to manage and oversee and learn everything that's involved in the greenhouse operation. Then we have a country store where any of the products that they make, whether it be on their own personal time or in their classes, they can sell. And then we also have three homes on the property. Two are completely finished. We have individuals living in there, but one is still under construction, and we hope to have that finished here in the fall.
That's great. So one of the things I want to do when we come back now, we've talked a little bit about the Midnight Farm. I want to talk about kind of how it's run, kind of the systems and how you guys run this 40-acre ranch when we come back after the break.
This is the Lawrence Business Magazine show on the news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Think about this. When's the last time you and Mom actually sat down and shared a story or a smile? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe Mother's Day would be a day to reconnect. And Paisano's Ristorante has a great way to do just that. Get Mom out of the kitchen and bring her to a restaurant that understands how to treat someone special. Then talk, laugh, swap stories, or just share a moment for the whole afternoon. For Mother's Day, it's got to be Paisano's. 25th and Iowa in Lawrence or 10th and Gage in Topeka. Paisano's Ristorante. It's what Italian food is all about.
Wow, our first vacation in years. Well, since we moved Mom in with us, we've been afraid to leave town without anyone to take care of her. But then we talked with visiting nurses again who took care of Mom after her surgery. They have licensed private duty care. They'll stay with Mom, fix her meals, do her medication setup. Anything we worried about, VNA already has covered. And now we're on this great vacation with no worries.
Visiting nurses in Lawrence, call 843-3738. In Topeka, call 234-2700.
The annual Douglas County Bank Shred Day is May 18th from 9 a.m. until noon at our downtown branch at 9th and Kentucky. Bring your old documents to shred with Jayhawk File Express. Protect your identity and get rid of those old papers you no longer need for free. We'll also be offering electronics recycling with Asset Lifecycle. Recycle almost anything with a power cord for free. A small fee will apply for monitors or television. Drop off your items May 18th from 9 a.m. until noon. Douglas County Bank, investing in our community one customer at a time. Member FDIC.
This sound of summer was brought to you by Lawrence Battery in Topeka, Kansas City, and across the bridge in North Lawrence. Come in and check out their full line of watercraft batteries and accessories. Honest, friendly service. That's the Lawrence Battery way. This sound of summer was brought to you by Lawrence Battery in Topeka, Kansas City, and across the bridge in North Lawrence. Come in and check out their full line of motorcycle batteries and accessories. Honest, friendly service. That's the Lawrence Battery way.
For over 100 years, Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services has been here to serve and care for the families of Lawrence, Eudora, and Johnson County during the greatest time of grief. Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services understands the difficult decisions that are facing you, and their mission is to fulfill the needs in a responsive, compassionate manner today and tomorrow. Visit warrenmcelwain.com to see a full description of services offered, plan prearrangements, obituaries, guest books, and veteran services. Warren McElwain Mortuary and Cremation Services.
The News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
922, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. Once again, here is Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Nicole Van Belzen and Lauren Demmel from Midnight Farm of CLO fame. And we've been talking about all the things they do out at Midnight Farm, the therapeutic horses and all the things that they do. So I want to talk a little bit about just what is the mission of Midnight Farm?
The mission is to provide a rural opportunity for individuals with developmental disabilities.
Okay. So rural opportunity. So how, let's, so that is not an easy thing to do because you have transportation, as we talked about, the break, horses are not cheap. So how do you finance this? Because I know that Mike talked a bit in the article that's in the current business magazine that's out there on newsstands everywhere. But he talked about kind of the business model, and let's talk a little bit about how he developed that, because the therapeutic riding programs are not cheap, and a lot of them don't succeed. So why is yours succeeding? And let's talk about your business model.
Well, our business model is very multifaceted. So we don't depend on just one funding stream to fund the entire program. So we rely on several different funding streams. One of our largest is through Medicaid. The adults that we serve, the majority of them do receive Medicaid funding, 99% of them do. And so the services that we do provide, we, you know, through Medicaid funding, we make a, well, we don't make a profit, but that helps pay for the services that we provide for them. And so all the adults that are in CLO's day services or residential, this is an amenity for them. We're not able to bill for the therapeutic riding program, but it is an amenity. And then we also provide summer camps for that. In the therapeutic horseback riding program, we also do private pay. So individuals who are not in our services also have a fee that they pay. We have summer camps. We do field trips. And then we also do special events throughout the year. And so we may charge for the space that we use. But then the three homes that we do have on the property, they're part of our extended family teaching model, which is a model where you have a host family that provides services for one to two individuals. And so the two homes that we do have on the property right now are owned by CLO, and we lease those out to our extended family teachers. And so they do have to, it would be like you or I renting a property in the community. And so that helps support that. And then we're always pursuing grants and donors and funders.
Right. So, but when you when this started, when one of the things where Mike says, like, so you had a you'd have a huge capital campaign just to start this. So that would, how long did that capital campaign last, and where did you get? Was that just from local donors? Is that where you?
We were very fortunate to receive a Kansas community service tax credit grant, which allowed us to raise, I think it was close to $250,000. And so with that, any of the people who donated to that program did receive a tax deduction, 50% tax deduction for their donation. And so that really launched us into our fundraising campaign there. And then we had a lot of other donors that really supported our mission and helped us build the main lodge. And so we were very lucky to have strong supporters and have that grant. Had it not been for that grant, we wouldn't have been able to be as successful as we were. And so that helped us build our donor base.
I think so, yes. Now, when you take the, so you have these funds. So now the ongoing services, like I said, you have your Medicaid and stuff. It helps with your a lot of your costs. But but as we know, Medicaid does not cover everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have a lot of other costs. So, and I know that he was talking, Mike was talking about, how you guys diversified. So you have things, so you have your therapeutic riding program, you have all these horses. How do you, and how do you pay for that? Because you also have a lot of staff. How many people, what kind of a staffed situation do you have out there? And how many people do you guys actually serve out there?
Well, in our day service program, we serve right now we serve about 13 adults. And so we do provide day services out there Monday through Friday for those 13 adults. And so we are able to bill for the day service program out there, which helps us. And then for the other staff that are part of the therapeutic riding program, that's funded through the Medicaid billing and the services that are provided as an amenity for CLO. Another huge part of our business plan is by being minimalist out there. We only have 10 horses in our therapeutic riding program. They're probably some of our hardest workers in our company. We can't have horses in our program that aren't contributing to the program. The cost involved in the upkeep of a horse is too extreme for us to be able to have horses that are retired on our property or horses that are hurt. If they're not fully participating in the program, we do have to rehome them.
Now, with the horses that you get, do you have one person that's in charge of training them? How do you train these horses?
Well, we have three instructors in our therapeutic riding program, and those three instructors are responsible for making sure that the horses that come into our program, we think, have potential to be utilized maximally in the program. And any horse that comes into our program, they go through a training regimen, and these three instructors work to make sure that they're safe, because we have individuals who are in a wheelchair and have difficulty with balance, and so we can't have horses that have any behavioral issues.
I think you have to have very specific, you know, temperament with the horses. We have to be very
We have to be extremely picky about the horses that are in our program, and so these three instructors work very hard to make sure that the horses that are in it are well suited.
Now, how do you acquire those horses? I mean, where do they come from? Are people are they donated horses? Are they, do you purchase them? How do you get the horses?
Most of our horses have come through donations.
That's nice.
It's great. We have a lot of ex-show horses, and so they have been exposed to a lot of different things instead of just being at one barn where they're only exposed to a controlled environment. So most of our horses have been on the road. They've seen other barns. They've heard loud noises. And so you can pretty much do anything.
They get spooked as easily.
Exactly. And so we're pretty lucky to have those. We have had to purchase a few in the past. We had a need for a horse, and there were no donations in line, and so we just needed to get a horse into the program. And so, but again, that's a very extensive process where we have to make sure that we can afford the horse and that it fits into the program. And so any horse that's donated to our program, it's on a trial basis at first to make sure. We just can't take horses that aren't going to work for the program because the price is too high.
Right. Yes. So you have the horses out there and the upkeep. So the funding for the upkeep of the horses, that doesn't come through Medicaid because they're not going to give you horse money.
Correct. No, it does not. That is all through private donations.
Okay.
And we're always looking for ways to hold fundraisers. Next Saturday, we're actually holding our annual fundraiser, which is a horse show.
Now that May 3rd or May 4th.
Well, this weekend we have a plant sale where we'll be selling plants that the individuals have helped pot and help us grow. And then the following weekend, on May 10th, is our annual spring horse show, where last year we raised $19,000 for that horse show. And so those funds help us give scholarships to the riders. Many of the individuals that come into our program, due to the health needs that they have, financially, it's a pretty expensive program, so we always like to have scholarships available, and so that helps build a fund for scholarships for them. This year, we also have raised at least $6,000 so far this year for our camps to provide camper scholarships to help them be a part of the program this summer, too.
Okay, and I want to talk a little bit about those summer programs, too. Well, I also want to talk, but a couple of the things I know that you've done what you're talking about is like you have like a little store there to help raise money.
Correct.
You have, and then you do events out there to kind of diversify different things that you guys do, and your camps, obviously.
Yes.
So those are kind of the other different revenue streams that you have.
Yeah.
So how does, so can somebody just drive out there and go to the store? Or is there certain times, or how does the store work? Because most stores, you know, are open, you know.
Store hours.
Yeah. So how does that work?
Well,
are you just selling to the employees?
Well, we do sell to the public. This weekend, our plant sale is completely open to the public. We're wanting people to come down, see our amenities, and then also see the hard work that our individuals
have put into. So how does a person get to Midnight Farm to come and see?
Well, you, K-10, if you head east on K-10 outside of Lawrence, mm-hmm. you exit on 2200 Road or Church Street and head south, and then you'll hit North 600 Road and head west, and you'll see us on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can also find our address online at midnight-farm.org. So.
Okay, and we'll put that on our website, too, so okay. people can
Great.
Find that. So they can go on. So they can go out there, and mm-hmm. so your sale for this Saturday, mm-hmm. the 4th.
Correct.
Yep. This goes from when?
9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay,
so,
9 to 1.
And there's
okay.
tons of fun activities going on out there too, outside of the plant sale. There's all kinds of stuff for families. So, you know, hopefully the weather holds out, but it'll be held regardless of what yeah. the weather's doing. So come check out Midnight Farm, definitely.
So that'd be a very good opportunity to people mm-hmm. to see what you do down there, because yeah. it's not it is a little off the beaten track. So
yes,
it's kind
yeah.
of good to get people
yeah.
out there in a different way.
Correct. And on our website, you can also view the products that we have for sale. So
okay.
If you're interested in something, instead of driving all the way out there, since it is off the beaten path, then you can see it online and, you know, just email us if you're interested in something.
Okay.
And we're always available to set up tours and show people the amenities.
Well, that's great. So let's talk. So now, so you have the writing program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how do people come to that? I know you said the CLO and stuff, but how do you guys get this out about the program? I mean, where do people learn about this? And do they come with their own therapist? I mean, I think it's pretty interesting. How does the program itself really work?
Well, again, that's multifaceted as well. We kind of canvass the community. We hit resource fairs all over where we have, we provide child services. So we're, anytime a child comes into our services, we're always talking about the benefits of
different programs.
Yes.
And, stuff.
Uh-huh. And, you know, and so anytime we go into a school or go to a resource fair, we're always passing out flyers, trying to inform people about Midnight Farm. You know, we're always trying to put out ads, to make ourselves known. We do also sponsor some other programs, whether mm-hmm. it be a baseball team in Eudora, you know, just trying to get our name out into the community and let people know that we're there. I think that's one thing that we find out a lot from parents who have children with developmental disabilities. They don't know what services are available.
Right.
So we're always trying to educate people mm-hmm. on what services are available. And then we have a whole staff of case managers as well. And those case managers provide case management for individuals that are not in CLO services as mm-hmm. well as in CLO services. And so they can also be a resource for knowledge to educate people on the benefits of Midnight Farm.
Well, one of the things I found out is when people have gone out there, that they're usually really surprised.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So just getting people out there mm-hmm. and the awareness, the word of mouth and
yeah.
stuff. Because you guys now have been out there since now. This is like your fourth or fifth year?
Uh-huh.
Your fifth
yeah.
year, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Of having so how many? So I know that you have you know, your people, the people that come out on your mm-hmm. weekly basis, but you also have these camp programs in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do those work and how do people find out about those? Let's talk about the camps and how those are run.
Okay.
Because that's also another revenue stream, right?
Yes.
Getting people out to you.
Correct. And that kind of opens us up to a different market than the population that we are serving in our adult program. And so not only do we provide services for adults, but we do children to help kind of maximize those funding streams as well. And so for the children, we provide 5 summer camps, and 3 of those summer camps are focused around the therapeutic riding program. So they get to work with the horses all day. They get to learn about grooming.
So they're all day camps?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have overnight camps yet. We might look into that in the future. Mm-hmm. There has been high demand for that. But right now they're just day camps, and we have 3 of those. Then we also have 2 other camps for children and adults with developmental disabilities. So we have 5, and they'll go from June 17th this summer to July 26th.
So all the camps run together? I mean, they coincide or they have?
They're a week long at a time.
Week-long, mm-hmm. week-long camps that
yeah.
they have.
Yeah, and we have camps for all abilities. So, you know, if they have very little horse experience, we have those. If they're more advanced, we have those horse camps as well.
But it's an all-day program,
mm-hmm.
so they come in. So they are learning about not only just about learning riding the horses, they're learning about how to care for the horses
yeah.
and then other things.
Mm-hmm.
That they,
And they get to do fun activities with them. Painted Pony Day is always the most popular.
What's Painted Pony Day?
Well, they take hand paint or finger paint, and they get to go over the skeletal structure of the horse, and they paint that on the horse and where the muscles are. And so they get to learn about what makes the horse. And they
the
get
biology
to do it
of the horse.
Then. Exactly. Cool. Yeah, but in a fun, interactive way that's colorful, but it's not harmful to the horses.
Well, no, that sounds interesting. Yeah, you have to have pictures of that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, the kids love it. So
very fun. So doing that. So now let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys have to do, because I know that you're talking about the program and different revenue streams and stuff like that. But still, you also have to have fundraisers.
Yes.
And let's talk about this, and then we'll finish. We'll talk about it a little bit more next break, but. Throughout the year, you have different events and fundraisers for both CLO and Midnight Farm. And let's talk about how those, because I know as funding has changed over the last few years and stuff, you guys have to be are more challenged on how you do that. So let's talk about the different events and how important they are.
Okay. We'll do small fundraisers, and then we'll do larger fundraisers. And for CLO, we have multiple programs that funders can support. For our fundraisers, like the horse show, generally we know what group we're going to be targeting for that and who wants to support that. And so we always like to be very specific on the groups that we are targeting. Some people prefer to support the children's programs. Others prefer to support the adults program. So, you know, we have to be pretty respectful of our donors and not just continue to harass them and ask for money.
Sure.
So we really like to be very specific when we're asking donors for money. And so we have found that we've been very successful if we have a specific cause, like the horse show, where we're raising money for scholarships, or with this camps, where we're raising money for camps. Donors seem to like to give to a cause and not just because. And so throughout the year, we're planning those events and we'll make appeals through fundraisers where we hold a horse show, or through we'll send it through the mail, or we just have to get kind of creative. We'll do an open house if we're opening a new program or have just renovated a space. And that's one way we've done it. We're also working on kind of building our social media campaign as well. That's a huge way for nonprofits to raise money these days. And Nicole's actually working pretty hard on researching that. And
absolutely. Yeah. We're hoping to really get something going soon, and really, like Lauren said, utilize that for some fundraising too, to keep the word out constantly rather than just when an event pops up.
And so how do you get, because one of the things too is just getting people out there to see it, or how are you doing to drive, to get people out there, to encourage people to come out to the,
well,
to the farm, different places?
I would say we offer a lot, we offer field trips. And so with our field trips, school districts will send their special education classes out. And so they get to see the property. And then we will send information home with them. A lot of these kids really enjoy their time that they spend at the farm for their field trip. And so oftentimes we'll see individuals come through our services that way. Through these resource fairs, you know, we'll take videos to show them really what a day at the farm is like.
Because a lot of these kids haven't really had a chance to be out in the rural areas because people consider it to be, you know, it's a little scary for parents and stuff to have their kids out there.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Okay. And you're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine show right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320. KLWN. Lawrence, your forecast.
42 overnight. Looks like our daytime high. Rain, then rain and snow as temperatures fall to the upper 30s. Gusty north winds gusting to 30 this afternoon. Total daytime accumulation about a half an inch of snow. Then rain and snow becoming all snow tonight. Another half an inch possible. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
For over 100 years, Warren McIlwain Mortuary and Cremation Services has been here to serve and care for the families of Lawrence, Eudora, and Johnson County during the greatest time of grief. Warren McIlwain Mortuary and Cremation Services understands the difficult decisions that are facing you, and their mission is to fulfill the needs in a responsive, compassionate manner today and tomorrow. Visit warrenmcilwain.com to see a full description of services offered, plan prearrangements, obituaries, guest books, and veteran services. Warren McIlwain Mortuary and Cremation Services.
When it comes to your home or business, first impressions are made at the curb. Pine Landscape Center can help you make a lasting first impression with your landscape. With a wide variety of rock, sod, soil, and mulch, our professional installation staff has the experience and knowledge to bring your landscape to life. Let Pine Landscape Center turn your backyard into an outdoor recreation paradise. Pine Landscape Center, east at TP Junction, south on 1500 Road. Stop in today or visit us online at pinelandscapecenter.com.
This sound of summer was brought to you by Lawrence Battery in Topeka, Kansas City, and across the bridge in North Lawrence. Come in and check out their full line of watercraft batteries and accessories. Honest, friendly service. That's the Lawrence Battery way. This sound of summer was brought to you by Lawrence Battery in Topeka, Kansas City, and across the bridge in North Lawrence. Come in and check out their full line of motorcycle batteries and accessories. Honest, friendly service. That's the Lawrence Battery way.
City Wine Market wants to know, is this your book club?
So I really like the way the author...
Or is this your book club?
I can't believe how good this wine is. Where did you get it? I have to get a bottle for my friends.
At City Wine Market, of course. I told them I need a special wine for our book club night. This is the best wine I've ever had. So, do you think City Wine Market can help me read this book, too?
Oh, the book! Oh, well.
City Wine Market, the official book club night sponsor. Near Dillon's at 6th and Wakarusa.
With 50 floor plans to choose from, it's time you came home to Meadowbrook Apartments. From studios to three-bedroom luxury apartments, Meadowbrook has a home to fit your needs and budget. Not to mention the pools, fitness center, and so much more. Meadowbrook sits on 42 acres in the heart of Lawrence, so there's plenty of space to enjoy and always a great view. Plus, on-site management and maintenance. Create your memories here.
Meadowbrook Apartments at meadowbrookapartments.net.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
943, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, Ann Fraim Herzog.
I'm here with Midnight from Midnight Farm, Nicole Van Velsen and Lauren Demmel. And we've been talking about all the different things they do out there. But before we continue, I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at the local Hy-Vee, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of it in our downtown little boxes. We got one in front of the Eldridge and the former Milton's downtown. We're also available online at thelawrencebusinessmagazine.com, where you can submit questions and comments for our guests at questions@lawrencebusinessmagazine.com and like us on Facebook, where you can find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So one of the things that in the, right now and the current issue on the stands is our thing about our magazine about community banking. And we also have in it a nice article if you want to learn a little bit more and see some pictures online, as well as in the magazine about Midnight Farm and kind of its model of, as the headline says, of multiplicity and all the different things you do. And at the break, we were talking a little bit about the general public and just the awareness. And Nicole, you were saying a little bit about that.
That's I feel like maybe the impression is that it's tough to get out there, or if you need to, you know, really plan ahead to be able to see Midnight Farm. But and really, that's not true. And we'd really love for everybody to, you know, get out there, take a look at the facility. It's really a beautiful place that we continue to expand and grow and add more amenities to. And so in the next couple of weekends, both this weekend's Green Thumb Fun Day from 9 to 1 on Saturday, and then also the horse show the following weekend, those two large events are both open to the public fully. So if you have time in the next two weekends to come out, please do wander around, you know, take a look at everything that's going on out there. But then also, you know, you're always welcome to call the farm. The phone number is on our website as well. And just schedule some time that, you know, someone would be able to greet you at the door and kind of walk you through the facility. It's always open. And, you know, we've got kids from any ability also participating in our program. So it's really not just for, you know, kids and adults with developmental disabilities. So, you know, feel free to give them a call and at least go out and check it out. We'd love to have you.
And well, one of the things, too, that we were talking about is like the one of the reasons that this was established and what you were talking about with Mike, how his efforts, that it was really to establish a quality of life. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think Mike Strauss, our CEO's real large vision for CLO is, you know, of course, providing for the basic needs and services for our individuals, but really providing environments that really improve the quality of their lives. Midnight Farm is definitely a great therapeutic riding program, but the space that it's in is beautiful. It's welcoming. It's enjoyable to be out there. A lot of thought was put into making it a really attractive place. And so I think, you know, having that foundation for the mission to really have enriched opportunities for everyone we serve really goes above and beyond just providing the basic services. And I think it's a really great program he's put together.
Well, yeah, I think quality of life, I mean, it's so important to all of us, the quality of life. And you know, when you have a disability, it makes, you know, sometimes getting access to so many things just that much harder. And you know, when you have roadblocks and you know, if you have your parents are busy and stuff, it's hard for them to make sure you have everything. So this is a wonderful way of people getting out and having these children that have disabilities to really experience nature in a safe setting, because that's always, I think, a parent's concern when they have a child with disabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much going on out there, but it's always supervised, always safe.
So now one of those things that too is we talked about is with his entrepreneurial efforts. Let's talk a little bit about Mike's kind of bigger vision, because he started this program. He looked at a lot of different programs. Mm-hmm. He started this program. He wanted to make sure that it was a sustainable program. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how he does that and kind of how his vision now is kind of, he's helping other people spread, he's kind of spreading his vision.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike's been working with several other facilities across the United States to, in lots of ways, implement similar programs to what CLO is running. So, you know, since we've been around, this is our 35th year, lots of mistakes have been made, but lots of successes have been a product of that. And so through all those learning experiences, Mike's been able to really reach out to other organizations, for instance, like in Richmond, Virginia, mm-hmm. New York City, California, really. Sometimes it's a residential program that we've had specific success with, and other times it's like day services. Uh-huh. And so as of yet, a Midnight Farm hasn't been replicated, but when these groups come out and visit Kansas to see what we've got going on, Midnight Farm is always a highlight. Especially, I mean, I will never forget when the New York City folks walked in and all the small animals that Lauren talked about earlier, the kind of petting zoo-sized uh-huh. animals were running around the arena, and they were just hilarious. That was a new experience for those people, and it's a memorable place. And so, lots of replications of a lot of our services are going on across the United States.
So when he talks about what is he doing, I mean, what are some of the things that CLO is doing to help? I mean, what are some of those services? I mean, when you're talking about him talking to the people in his kind of vision, what is that?
Well, over the years, we've been partnered with KU to develop best practice mm-hmm. models for okay. Individuals with developmental disabilities for both children and adults. And with 35 years of expertise and experience, these other companies are looking to Mike for guidance on how to build their program and make their program high quality and sustainable.
Okay.
It's a very difficult task. And because Mike can see the multifacets of the funding streams, he's contracted in to help them as a consultant to develop these programs to make them sustainable and have high quality. I think one of the biggest things from the group that we have from New York and Richmond, they currently provide services for, they both run schools for children with autism.
Okay.
And many of the board members that have come out, they have children with autism. So when they come out here, they look at our models and they say, this is what I want my child to have. You know, you're serving people who are in their 50s and they're not going to be around when their child's in their 50s. And they want to know that their children are being well cared for and have these amenities available throughout their lifetimes. And so, you know, they're really looking at our models and seeing mm-hmm. the success of them.
So lifelong programs as opposed
yes.
to just a, you know, there's a little program here or there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Program.
Meeting the lifelong needs of individuals with developmental disabilities and their families' needs. You know, there's a whole family unit that's involved in that. And Mike takes that into consideration every time he works with those models. And we've been lucky to have the relationship with KU because there's some very talented mm-hmm. and educated individuals over at KU really helping us make our models as high quality as they can be.
That's great. That's wonderful. Now, when you're that experience, I mean, working with KU, do you have KU students come out to the school? So are those part of your team and the people working out there?
we have professors that work with us, and then we, a lot of these professors will send us either undergraduates or graduates who want to be a part of the process of doing research, researching our programs to make sure that they are high quality. All of our services are data driven. You have to have that research to make sure that they are sustainable and high quality. And so we have students every semester that are working with us. And then one benefit of that is that when the students come and work with us, they learn how Cielo works and they help us further our mission. And we've hired several graduates from the University of Kansas that have worked with us in an internship role or, and so that's one thing that we're always looking to do is really just foster expertise and knowledge within our programs. And, you know, that's with great. KU, we're able to do that.
Well, and so that is one, so that's one area of help. So what kind of staffing? I mean, that's a lot of people that you have out there to run a program like this. So how does the staffing go out there? Because we've talked about a lot about the, you know, your experts, but there's a lot of other things that need to be done out there. So how does the rest of the ranch work?
Well, we have a director that oversees Midnight Farm, and she oversees our farm maintenance, the riding program, and our day service program out there. And so she just makes sure that everything's in tip-top shape and safe and accessible for all
but
the individuals.
But who does she get to do this? She doesn't do it all herself. How does she do this?
We do have a farmhand that works with the farm, does the property mows and makes sure, you know, that the property's in good shape. And then we have, she's an instructor as well. So she plays multiple roles out there. So we do have... you know, we don't have any positions that just, you know, everybody out there works really hard and they take on more than what one position would. Oh, yeah. And we have tons of volunteers. And
okay, so volunteers, how many volunteers do you have out there and how do they work?
Any given week, we'll need about 150 volunteers to support our program. Our therapeutic riding program would not be possible without volunteers. For every rider, we need about 3 volunteers to support them, make sure it's as safe as possible for them. We have volunteers that help in our horticultural program. We have volunteers that help with farm maintenance. And so that is, so instead of really having a dense staff, we really rely on volunteers. We also do unpaid internships out there for individuals who want to work in the program. We have students who are in certain educational programs, and the exposure that our program offers can benefit their program as well. So,
yeah, no, that sounds so we have a volunteer. So if somebody is interested in this, getting involved with the Midnight Farm and working with them as a volunteer, you said you have somebody out your who's the person runs? What's her name?
Midnight Farm director is Colleen Baker.
Okay, so Colleen's out there. So she's the one that oversees all the volunteers, I would assume.
Brett Bauer is actually the one who is our volunteer coordinator.
Oh, volunteer coordinator.
Yeah.
So can they find out this from going to the website, or if they call, or just come out and visit?
Either, you know, we can take phone calls, emails, they can come out and visit. All the information for volunteering is found on our website.
Okay.
We do have an application that they have to fill out, but that's all found on our website.
Yeah, because I know with safety reasons and stuff like that, too, you need to have all those. There's always a lot of forms and things to fill out.
Definitely.
So now, over the next few weeks, you talked about, you know, you have this event coming up. You know, you have the garden sale this weekend, and then you have the horse show on May 10th. What other things, and then your camps start. So what kind of things do you have to get ready for your camps? And I assume you have a ton of volunteers for your camps.
Yes. We need a lot of volunteers for the camps, for all 5 of the camps. And so we're always looking for volunteers for any of our program. And so we'll need those, but the preparation for getting ready for the horse show and the camps, there's a lot of administrative stuff, making sure that we have really enriching activities to go on so that, you know, they're getting the most benefit out of their time at camp. And so the lesson plans that are involved in that, and then also making sure that we have enough volunteers, and then also doing the processing of getting individuals enrolled in the camps and everything. Sure. So there's a lot of preparation that goes
into. How many kids are you going to have in your camps generally? Have you had in your camps?
For the horsemanship camps, generally we do about 12, give or take a few for each camp. And then for the other two special needs camp, we'll do about 16. Mm-hmm. And our special needs camp, generally we do like to have one-on-one ratios. So we like to pair at least one volunteer with each camper for those.
Yeah, so you get a kind of a buddy system going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's up. So now what other events, because you have, so you have the summertime, which I imagine as most farms, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And you also have your greenhouse and stuff like that. So do you have, are people working in the greenhouse at the same time, or is that an ongoing?
Oh, yeah, it's an ongoing project.
Because it's a start off small, the greenhouse. Now it's getting bigger and bigger, right?
Correct. And we just relayed a big old garden bed outside, and so we'll have that going all summer. In the summer, it's a little too warm for the greenhouse, so we'll go out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, go out into the garden. And then we'll grow pumpkins in the fall. And all these activities are geared towards the individuals that we serve. So making sure that they're included and they're involved in it. They learn from it. And so our gardening program, for the most part, goes year-round, except in the winter when not much grows around here. And same with our therapeutic writing program. That goes year-round, whether we're doing camps or lessons, that's going year-round. This winter, we are planning on adding one winter camp.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, when kids are on winter break, we're hoping that that'll be a good opportunity for parents to have a place for their children to go. You know, a lot of parents, both of them work, or if they're single parents, it's difficult if your child's off for a couple weeks. So we're wanting to add a winter camp this in about December or January this year. So.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you guys both for being here. This has been really informative, and I think what you're doing out there is wonderful. The people should try to get out there, and they should go to the website, midnight-farm.org. And which we'll also have on our website, lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and like us on Facebook, as I said before. But you can, they should try to get out there this Saturday. If they're, you know, if it's a little nasty weather, they should come out and get some nice plants and make them feel happy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then next weekend, now when is the horse show? What time on the 10th? When how's that day work? When should people come out if they're interested?
The students will be riding from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Okay. So that'll be when where all the action is.
Okay, and so I think there's other things going on out there, so they can check out the whole farm and see what's happening. Yeah. Oh, wonderful! And hopefully, I heard next weekend's going to be perfect weather, right?
Oh, let's cross our fingers.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole and Lauren, for being here. It's been very informative. Our listeners can get links to your site from our magazine online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and like us on Facebook for updates. Each Thursday at 9 a.m., we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And I think everyone agrees that you guys are definitely, CLO and Midnight Farm is a positive thing we have for our community. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
Fox News Radio update next here at 10 o'clock, KLWN Lawrence.
42 overnight looks like our daytime high. Rain, then rain and snow as temperatures fall to the upper 30s. Gusty north winds gusting to 30 this afternoon. Total.